Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Oh, we got such a busy show today. Wednesdays are jam-packed because we got John Martin. I heard yesterday John talking about how Tennessee was going to go down to Gainesville and get the W. This is why the whole betting thing seems difficult to me.
Yeah, that was an easy one to throw in the trash.
It was certainly easy to throw in the trash. Yeah. One knew early what was going to happen there. But anyway, we'll talk to him about that, about the Tiger basketball team and other things. First chance to talk to John here in 2025. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Chris has a multiple output today of stories in the Daily Memphian. He's got a piece on, he's got this essential Memphis library where he sort of says, as cultural, if you're a Memphian, what should you own that represents the best? And he, of course, I'm phrasing this completely in a way he would not, but it's Elvis's, an Elvis album. It's Elvis would be 90 today. So on the occasion of Elvis's 90th birthday, he has offered up an Elvis album. The pauses you're hearing already are because I'm still coughing.
Yeah, but nobody works it better.
But I've mastered the cough button. Yep. I've absolutely mastered it. It's the only thing lingering from my cold, but it is still lingering. So Chris will join us. He also wrote a piece about the Grizzlies and how they are faring. You recall that not long ago, Grizzlies were just rolling, right? They just destroyed Golden State. They were crushing it. And yet we said, okay, they're about to, now we're going to get the test because they're about to play 11 straight games against Western Conference contenders, right?
Yep.
And so we will see, we'll get a true sense at that point of what they are all about. And one of the things he wrote about today is that we do not have a true sense because they've been hurt. The opposition has been hurt. Like, so if what you were expecting was, all right, now we're going to see. And we have not seen. We do have, you know, good news is Ja continues to progress. But anyway, we'll talk to Chris about that. And then Sam Hardiman's going to join us. And it's a...
And I'm trying to do this.
Sam Hardiman is coming up next. And Sam has been very busy since we last spoke to him. He has a piece out there about XAI. That's something that popped up last year. We didn't expect, right? We didn't expect that.
True.
So we have a piece about XAI and power. He did do a piece, and we talked earlier or texted earlier today about what he might talk about, and I didn't put this on his radar. So I'm putting on his radar now, if he's listening, about whether we're going to be facing a boiled water advisory. Like of recent vintage we have. And obviously we got this storm bearing down upon us. Jeffrey, are you concerned?
I'm concerned in the, how's it going to affect the schedule?
Am I concerned about
whether or not, I mean, I suppose I have to have pre-anxiety for my wife who's going to immediately freak out about whether or not we're going to have power.
Well, you've moved since the last
week,
so we don't know how you're going to hold up.
My understanding is I've not moved to a better power situation.
You've not moved to a better power.
I think I've actually downgraded in power. More trees, more power lines, lower hanging.
But above all of that, I want to talk to Sam about the piece he did about what could be in store on Beale Street. Because he wrote a piece about how the management of Beale Street could change. And in fact, embedded in that piece was that the Grizzlies could be part of the management of Beale Street. Here's the truth. Way back when they decided to put FedEx Forum where they decided to put it, and I wrote a column. This is one I wrote a column. I was not in favor of that location. But then subsequently I did a mea culpa because it for the longest time seemed perfect, right?
I forgot, what were all the options?
The biggest option, honestly, the other big option was right across from AutoZone Park where the bus station used to be.
Okay.
That was the other
place. I thought there was one about.
And so it was gonna, the idea would be there would be this sort of.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of cities with stadiums.
Right, entrance, yeah. Downtown. You know, you'd
the front door.
Front. Or the back door. I guess maybe the river is the front. Mm-hmm. I don't know which is which door. But that was the other argument. And Willie Harrington was instrumental in having it put where it was put. And for the longest time, people celebrated. Like back in the days of the Tyson fight and you had the NCAA tournament coming here. And like, man, this is great. You can go right from Beale Street. And then because of COVID and the crime on Beale Street and some high-profile events or whatever, instead, Beale Street is not necessarily seen as an asset. It's seen as a drawback, have it being right next to Beale Street. Oh, my God, right next to Beale Street. This could get a little dicey. And that's not what you want Beale Street to be, right? You don't want Beale Street to be a place that people are scared of. And so they're talking about, in various ways, additionally, as they talk about more crime-fighting techniques and resources downtown, they're talking about reimagining Beale Street and the Grizzlies being a part of it. And one of the things that strikes me is that in 2025, and we haven't talked about it much, the Grizzlies will probably sign a lease, or else they'll not sign a lease, but they'll probably sign a lease in 2025, you know? And some of you might be wondering, well, what in the world are they waiting on? Like, haven't we identified the money, right? What is it, $525 million? And by the way, you look everywhere else where owners are asking for things from their municipalities, and you know what they're asking for? New buildings. That's what they're asking for. New buildings. That's what they're getting in Oklahoma City. You saw in Washington, right? They were threatening to go to Virginia for a new building. That's now off the table, but that's what they're after. The idea that Robert Pera is quote unquote only, and I know some of you won't see it this way, only asking for refurbishments to this building and some assurance that the area is safe and thriving is good news for Memphis. And I get the sense, it's just one of the interesting things here is that the Grizzlies, who are just supposed to be an NBA team, they're just supposed to be really good at putting basketball players together to win games. What is happening is they have become a driver. Honestly, I think less by choice than by necessity, they have become a driver of downtown improvements, of revitalizing downtown. Like, I do believe that their insistence that downtown be safe and that the area around the arena be safe and that Beale Street not be a sewer, like, given that they have the leverage of, by the way, the lease is up, like, those are things that will benefit them unquestionably, but those are things that will benefit everyone in the city at large. They are being put in this position, maybe because of lack of leadership elsewhere, that they're having to be a driver in assuring that we have a downtown that we want and deserve. And anyway, we'll talk to Sam about that as well. So that's the lineup. We got John Martin, then we got Chris Harrington. Then we have Sam Hardam. It's a heavy Daily Memphian day. Go over and read the Daily Memphian every single day. And by all means, please subscribe. Jeffrey, as I was, before we get into the sports matters, as I was watching the news last night and just savoring the idea of my new travels to the Gulf of America.
Mm-hmm. got a nice ring to it.
It's got the Gulf of America. Mostly you just call it the Gulf, so not much would change, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you say the Gulf Coast?
Yes.
You get onto the Gulf Coast. How often do you actually say Gulf of Mexico?
Not very.
Not very.
I mainly read it on a map.
Right. So anyway, as I was pondering this new world, we're going to be blessed with the Gulf of America, I saw these horrific fires. And it's crazy stuff. It's a inferno. People literally abandoning their cars on the freeway because the cars are locked and they don't want to be incinerated. You've been out there and you've lived through this. So you, when you watch it, you can sort of place it and you can imagine it. What the hell is it like? Well, what do you think when you see those fires?
I check on my friends that live out there. And so one of my buddies who lives in Santa Monica, he has evacuated. I mean, it really does, when you see I can vividly remember freshman year when the big fire came over the canyon. Like, it looks like a doomsday movie. Like, you see the sky turn red, and, like, you see the fire, like, coming towards you. Like, it really is, like, cinematic, almost. I mean, Pepperdine's well guarded. Like, we had another fire. Like, if you go and you look at campus, like, it'll be the same thing. The outskirts of campus look just absolutely roasted, and then, like, campus itself looks...
How is it guarded? How do you guard?
Limestone is apparently a very big deterrent.
Fire sees limestone, says, I'm not messing with that!
Yeah,
and turns back.
It's one of those things where you're like, you first hear it, you're like...
It's like the equivalent of a bollard. It's like the equivalent of a bollard for a truck.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those things where when you first hear, like, wait, what protects us? Limestone? You kind of roll your eyes, and then you go through a fire, and you look all around, like everything else around it is burned to a crisp, really? And campus looks like an oasis.
What's the scariest? I know that, like, living in Florida might be better than living in Buffalo. I mean, I'll fight you on that, but still.
From a weather perspective, I
concede that. But in terms of scary weather, right, what's worse, living in Tornado Alley, living in Hurricaneville, down there by wherever it's been hitting mostly on the west coast of Florida, or wherever, whatever.
Or Gulf of America.
Gulf of America, thank you.
Please.
Or living in earthquake/fire-prone California.
A lot of these are all of them.
The only time I've lived in any of those is I did live in South Florida, and so I lived in hurricane land, and I'll be honest, it was never particularly upsetting to me. There was, I guess, one hurricane, when I was there, and it wasn't particularly bad and whatever else. So it didn't feel like people, it's a reason to move, right?
I have found that experience answers this question because...
It's whatever you've been scarred previously?
Well, like, what I think about is, like, when I first got to California and, you're telling people, like, yeah, I'm from Memphis or, I'm from Tennessee, where I had to explain to them. And they're like, is that tornado country? I was like, well, kind of. We got the river. I don't really know. You didn't believe in limestone either, I'm telling you.
Are we tornado country?
I mean,
I guess we're also earthquake country.
I would say we're tornado adjacent.
We're definitely tornado adjacent.
Like,
maybe it's only our naivete and arrogance.
Well, no, it's all y'all's denial of the river being a thing.
The powerful bluff.
It's the fortress.
You know what it is?
Yes.
The bluff is the limestone.
It's the Zach Randolph and Mark Gasol. Come on.
It does the equivalent that limestone does for a fire.
Yeah. So, like, Californians are like, I literally think their only experience with tornadoes is the movie Twister. And, like, they think of that as a documentary.
So you're saying it's scarier. Yeah, the unknown is scarier than the known.
Correct. And whereas if I hear sirens, I probably don't have a healthy enough fear. Whatever.
I don't either. I don't get it. No, there's no bathtub.
And I have been through a hurricane. To be clear, it was only a Cat 1.
Which one can you most... By the way, of these, I understand that cold and snow is the most unpleasant on a daily basis. But is the least scary? It is the least scary. It's not going and kill you in your house.
Well, we say that, but
I guess if there's no power, it will.
Well, first off, we don't know. I you know, I'm not confident that if I had to go live in like Minneapolis, like Chris,
she
did,
would just die.
Yes,
just drop out of principle.
Correct. Like my body cannot handle this. I'm done. I'm just. It's
and
finished.
People do die in those snowstorms.
But,
they do die in those.
Well, places. I think there's also an element of.
You should look up death by blizzard.
Well, did you see the Swiss snowboarder a week or two ago that died in an avalanche?
That's different. Avalanche is different.
Right,
you're up
but
in
like,
a mountain. You're
right. So like that's what I'm saying. But I have found what most people are afraid of is like what they see like in TV, like really bad TV, like
so
storm chasers.
It's interesting.
Like,
I thought you were going to say the thing that you experience is the thing that terrifies.
Nah,
oh my God, I was in a tornado. I never want to live through that again. It's the opposite.
Yes.
It's the thing that you don't experience.
Because you know how to deal. If you have experience with it, you know how to deal with it.
We need to investigate death. Of course, people give credit to the storm for things pretty much whether they fully deserved or not. But death by
natural disaster,
cold, yeah, not in the United States. I think worldwide, doesn't it feel like earthquakes?
I would think tornado.
I would just
think worldwide. It's just heat, right? People like in third world countries that have.
Yeah, well,
like,
that's yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into this. Thinking about the folks.
It's even in America.
Out there in, what is even in America? Heat?
797 people died in the United States from natural disasters back in 2021, with excessive heat being the deadliest.
Hmm.
Which, again, doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me. Well, that it feels like those of us who are most vulnerable in society.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about, like, I just even think about.
You live with
I'm
heat,
openly
right.
admitting what an absolute wuss I am when it gets cold. Like, I don't defend my behavior. I will also say this. When everyone wants to make fun of me, go ahead and make fun of me. Let me go out and let's go do some activities in the summer when it's 105 and the humidity's at 85%. I will torch you.
So, last night, the Vols went to Gainesville and got their ass kicked. And I was astounded at the way it played out. I certainly wasn't astounded that Florida won.
Right.
It's a road game. But the notion that it would be quite as emphatic as it was. Tennessee's had a very good sports year in football and in basketball. But when they lose, man, they lose.
They leave no doubt.
They let their fans check out.
That's a heroic thing to do.
That's graceful. That's exactly right. Gracious, at the very least. Anyway, so which stat most impressed you here? Tennessee is the only Division I team this century to shoot 30% or worse on two-pointers, 15% or worse on three-pointers, and 60% or worse on free throws in a single game. That is the only Division I team this century, and they came in as the number one team in the nation. There is one stat, okay? The next stat, Florida. First athletic program ever to record a 30-point win against the AP number one in both college football and men's basketball. Now, that's a bit of a stretch. They beat Florida State in the 97 Sugar Bowl. This isn't one year. This is just, they've now, Florida, the institution, has had 30-point wins.
I was really having to rack my brains. Like, they played a lot of close games.
97. The 97 Sugar Bowl, 52-20 over Florida.
What did they beat Ohio State by in the festival or whatever?
Here we have, finally, Florida's 73-43 win over number one Tennessee, the most lopsided win versus a number one ranked team since UCLA beat Houston in the 1968 Final Four. Like, no number one team has ever flopped.
Wait, UCLA was an underdog in that era?
Has flopped. Yeah, this is so shocking. Has ever flopped as badly as Tennessee did last night.
I mean, all those numbers.
It was unbelievable.
All those numbers are staggering, but it was very, to me, like the number that I just, like 0-14 in the first. They lost this game in like the first.
They had four 10-15 minutes. Field goals in the first.
Yeah.
In the first 20 minutes. And it's not like Florida, like, shut the lights out.
They only scored 34 points after scoring 100 on Saturday.
Florida was, they win by 30, and they're 6 of 20 from 3.
Right.
So here's my question. And I don't really understand this. And I should get an expert on who can explain it to me.
Okay.
Given that Memphis has 10 quad 1 and 2 wins, right?
Yep.
And is the only team with 10 1 or quad. Why the hell? Where's Memphis in the net right now? Or Ken Palmer?
30.
31, whatever. Why the hell are they so low?
Because net also factors in, like, I don't know if it still is, but at one time, like, it was factoring in, like, recruiting rankings. Like, there's, like, an expectation element that's baked in. I will say this. Put your panic down. The net is not all that matters. Like, they're not seeding 1 through 68 based on where they come in, based on who qualifies in the net. Lenardi yesterday, I believe Memphis was the first 4 seed.
Yeah, and I've seen Memphis a lot as a 4 and a 5, yeah. Right? And so even though they're 31 right. in the net, the bracketologists have them as if they're top 20, basically.
Correct, which is kind of where they're ranked.
Which is sort of right. But it is interesting, like, whose resume, just in terms of quality wins and losses. So Tennessee has 3 quad 1 wins over Louisville, Baylor, and Illinois. And 1 quad 1 loss now to Florida.
And remind me, so I know the Illinois game was at Illinois. The Louisville game, I believe, was
at Louisville. It was at Louisville, yeah. And then they have a 1 quad 2 win, okay? So they are in quad 1 and 2.
Both have wins over Virginia.
They are 4-1. Is that? Yeah, they do both have wins over Virginia. But one of them was, where did Tennessee beat Virginia?
It was a neutral.
Yeah, it's not a quad 2. Yeah. Memphis's win over Virginia is a quad 2. Tennessee's win over Virginia is
quad
not.
3. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so Memphis, by contrast, quad 1 wins, like, which is more impressive. You beat Louisville, Baylor, and Illinois, and you lost to Florida. Let's just operate on quad 1, okay? Or you beat UConn, Michigan State, Clemson, Ole Miss, and you lost to Auburn and State. Aren't those roughly equivalent?
Yeah, Memphis, I mean,
Memphis is better.
But there is also, like, the 0 in the L column matters. Like, you know what I mean? Like I know they lost last night. I'm saying
it's funny. Kirk Herbstreit told me the 0 in the L column should not be what matters. You shouldn't
counting W's
and L's.
I'm saying in the metrics, the 0 matters.
Right. So, and then quad 2, Tennessee has 1 win over Arkansas. And Memphis has Missouri, UNLV, San Francisco, UVA, Florida Atlantic, and North Texas. Memphis has 6 quad 2 wins and 4 quad 1 wins. Tennessee has 3 quad 1 wins and 1 quad 2 win. Now, Memphis has a quad 3 loss.
Yes, and those do.
And that. And
those thing.
But it seems to me, honestly, just if you're doing what we did on every. Was it Tuesday nights and as we whatever?
Dude, how could you forget, Jeff?
As you hold the resumes up, but however far Tennessee drops, they won't drop to where Memphis is in the certainly top 25 net or anything else. It does seem to me though that if you did the college football type rankings here, like people do, they would be roughly equivalent teams. And I'm not saying they are roughly equivalent teams, but isn't I it is.
So I'm trying to look it up right now, Memphis. If the net is updated today, I think they're 32. They would have 4 quad 1 wins. There is nobody below them with more than, I believe, 3 quad 1 wins. And the first time you have to go up to find someone that has more than them is 21 in Oregon, who's 5-2 in quad 1. And then if you just combined it with 12-2 in quads 1 and 2, well, then you're looking at, oh boy. I mean, they might have, I think they have the most quad 1-2 wins of any teams.
Oh, they have, yeah. Of any team up to ever. Well, up to number one.
Yeah,
they have,
to
more.
One,
they have
yeah.
more than anyone.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Again, this is not my area of particular expertise, but it's kind of remarkable. And again, like, anyone can go and lose that game, and things got away. Tennessee just could not make a shot. Like, defensively, they were fine, honestly. They just could not make a shot.
No, the worst part about it is you got blown.
Just horrible. And
you got blown out, and you didn't feel like it was an effort problem.
No.
Like, you were just like,
no, if you were going to say what is the worst part of it from Tennessee, we all operate with our own PTSDs about
sure.
whatever the hell it is, right? And I would think for a Tennessee fan, it would be, oh, God, We can't ever score.
Another Rick Barnes offense.
We can't score. Yeah. Like, in the biggest games.
Where's Dalton?
In the biggest games, we can't score. And it's going to sink us again. But that doesn't mean it will. Just like it doesn't mean that Memphis is going to collapse in conference this year. Just it doesn't mean, like, whatever. Like, my Bills aren't going to necessarily lose to the Chiefs. They'll probably lose to the Ravens instead. Anyway, there you go. That happened last night. We also got the news. I think it was after we went off the air, Jeffrey. It was around about when we were going off the air that Jimmy Butler does not want to play in Memphis, Tennessee.
But
were you crushed?
Jeff, he already announced, though, that he just wants to play anywhere but Miami. Isn't Memphis anywhere but Miami?
Were you ever pro Jimmy Butler
deal?
Uh-uh. And what were the reasons for your opposition?
Number one, malcontent. Number two, how's this thing going to work? Like, in the end, you're bringing him in for the playoffs. I don't want the ball out of John Morant's hands in a playoff game. Jimmy Butler. Like, I just don't.
For me, it was really twofold. It was.
And then he's going to want a new deal.
How is it going to work in terms of chemistry, both on and off the court? Like, the Grizzlies are an all-for-one, one-for-all organization. And that is, honestly, to a fault, straight from the top, yep, all the way down, right? They don't want someone blowing up the locker room, you know. They don't, and demanding the ball. And it never seemed like a fit for me. It is from a basketball perspective because the position he plays, because of his playoff experience, all of that. I can see how you could argue yourself into it being a fit. But in terms of his fit in that locker room, I just could not and did not see it. And then the finances are another thing. I don't see the Grizzlies playing the tax, and as Chris indicated, it's sort of hard to do this without that, and then you need to figure out the deal for next year.
Right.
So I never saw it. I was not brokenhearted. I am offended, as I always am, by people who don't understand what a great opportunity it is to move and live and prosper here in Memphis, but I was not the slightest bit heartbroken. Also, after we left, and we can talk to John about this as well, his Raiders whacked their coach. Mm-hmm. Antonio Pierce got fired. Mike McCarthy, the Bears asked for permission to interview Mike McCarthy, whose contract will run out in a week. And so then they don't need to ask for permission in a week.
Right.
But they were denied permission to talk to Mike McCarthy. Elsewhere in the league, the Niners fired their defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen. It feels like Robert Saleh could be back, right?
Yeah.
There.
That seems to be the obvious fit. Now, Grant, I don't know, does Robert have an offset? Like, if he takes a D.C. job, does that – sometimes that affects –
Well, Jeff Ulbrich is another one who is considered might come back. And then we had the – we never really particularly talked about the Tyreek Hill quitting in the Dolphins' last game, mm-hmm, and then saying, I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Coach.
He evidently – you know, he did his meeting with the Dolphins.
His exit meeting.
And although they did not – he did not take back what he said, he did not demand – trade. Is Tyreek Hill going to be a Dolphin next year?
My instinct still says yes, because in the end, trading that contract, like, in the end, the Dolphins are going to pay him the most money. And so I think in the end they figure
out. Well, he's going to be paid that money. And so I'll tell you what swayed me on this. I went and looked up hypothetical deals. Some people were putting together, yep, hypothetical deals. They had him
what
going,
would it look like?
They had him going to the Arizona Cardinals, for example. They had whatever. They had him. And the best quote-unquote hypothetical deal was a third-round pick. And if I'm where I... Now maybe this is... But if I'm where I am in the trajectory of the Dolphins and McDaniel and Tua and all of that,
yep,
this next year is critical.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
And you just need your and there is no way in the world where you can argue that they are better with a third round pick next year than they are with even if Tyreek Hill. And who knows if his numbers were down this year because he is himself diminished or because of the quarterback play. I would suspect it's more the quarterback play than him being diminished. But whatever, even if it's a little column A, little column B, they're better with Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill is back.
Yes. That's my net position as well.
It did occur to me, thinking about the Dolphins, though,
You just found yourself wondering about teams that you know that your team could beat.
It's just, it's funny. Tim Graham over at The Athletic wrote a whole piece just mocking the rest of the AFC. Like, this was the year, if you recall, where the Jets and the Dolphins were supposed to overtake the Bills, right? And they're those two teams are in total disarray. The other thing that came out of the McDaniel stuff is that everyone was evidently late to team meetings all year long.
Does that really surprise you? He does not feel like a disciplinarian guy at all. Like, he feels like your cool friend.
It makes a lot of sense.
And they were losing, and they didn't have their quarterback. Like, that's just like a rudderless ship.
Yeah. But then, and they bring him back. And so you've got really the team that is in the best position. No one thinks that they're like going to be awesome next year because they're just rebuilding. Okay, we found our quarterback. Okay, we're going to get Vrabel as our new head coach. I think people would acknowledge it's going to be a climb back for the Patriots. You can accelerate that. They probably will. They'll have free agent money. They'll bring it up. They'll rebuild the offensive line. But what I was thinking about was, this made me sad. Is Ja Tua?
I think Ja's
he's not Tua in two ways, in a bunch of ways.
He's
better than Tua.
Relatively.
He is one of the 10 best players in the league when he's healthy, and Tua isn't.
Yes.
Right? So A, he's better. He's also a bigger star. Now, Tua's a bigger star because all NFL stars are bigger.
He's an NFL
right?
quarterback, yeah.
But one is literally one of the faces of Nike, you know, and one is just a guy. Like, maybe he's a top dozen quarterback at the best, whatever. So Ja is better. And Ja's injuries haven't been as gut-punchingly life-threatening. You know, like, they're not like, they just don't make you sick to your stomach the way that Tua's have, right?
Sure.
But in terms of, I only ask this as a, because you were bringing this up yesterday.
Yeah.
In terms of, either if you're a Dolphins fan, or you're an NFL fan just looking at the Dolphins, do you just assume Tua's not going to make it, right? He's not going to be healthy. I do. I just assume Tua's not going to be healthy for a full year. And that will be I can't take the Dolphins seriously because of Tua and his injuries.
Yeah, I think we're clearly at the point now. It's like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Right. Are we there with Ja? Is he as, in terms of the injury part of this, his absences, is he as, in fact, tainted by his inability to be
the best ability is availability.
Is he as tainted by that as Tua?
So I think where you can say the similarities are, when you're saying, like, well, if Ja plays 65 games, I'm going to sit there and go, he's not. But Tua, like, I do feel like Ja's injuries, they feel more like...
They may feel more minor.
Yeah.
They feel more ticky-tack.
But that's the difference of playing football and basketball. Like, in the end, like...
It's also the difference between a head injury.
Yeah.
In the end, it's not the same because...
But I definitely think there is a common thread in the sense of, like, I don't trust that either is going to be available.
If you're not a Grizzly fan and you're looking at the Grizzlies, think, yeah, well, come on, man. Yeah, well, they could be great if their best three players are available. Oh, sure, and the Dolphins could be great if Tua was healthy for 16 games.
Yeah, it's
you
almost
think of the same way.
It's almost like I kind of view Ja more similar to like Bill Walton. It's like when he was available and at his best and healthy, it's like there's nothing you could do with him.
But then Bill Walton became a severely
correct.
Ja isn't diminished by his injuries yet.
Yes.
He's only made unavailable. Whereas Bill Walton, for the bulk of
correct.
His career, much like Penny, much like Derrick Rose, was diminished by his
injuries. It's more just like bigs that got, you know, bigs in that era than like later with Ralph Sampson, like a lot of bigs that just like were just, their high end was very good, but, or maybe it's more like Kawhi. Like, you know what I mean?
Kawhi still, yeah, when he was available. Maybe it's a little more like Kawhi, except for Kawhi had championships.
They're different players. Like,
we knew that Kawhi healthy could still carry his team to championships. We don't know that about Ja. Anyway, we'll talk to Chris about this more. We'll talk to, busy day, as I said. We got John Martin, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Wednesday, 92.9 FM ESPN. I got good news, folks. The cold is bearing down upon us. But it's the semi-annual sale at Oak Hall. That's right. Fall and winter merchandise, men's and women's. And what I'm talking about here is outerwear, warm stuff, beautiful warm stuff. Best prices of the year at Oak Hall. The cold is coming. There is no better place to head than Oak Hall. And by the way, it's also they also have tailored merchandise, and there's savings throughout the store on fall and winter merchandise. But again, this is a great time. We've got cold, wind, storm, snow, whatever else heading our way. No better place, no better time to get to see your friends at Oak Hall. All right, do we have John? We have John Martin walking in. I'll tell you, Jeffrey, by the way, I said I was going to go to a different restaurant every...
Downtown restaurant, yes.
Did I say every week?
You said...
Every month?
You were contemplating. You were thinking about...
I was squishy on this.
You were thinking about every week.
And I'm not
maybe
even
every
sure it's
going to
be downtown.
But the thought was what counted.
I think it's going to be a new restaurant that Claire and I have not gone to together.
Target, yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
So last night, I was at Crosstown last night, and we went to, there's a little Asian place on Cleveland called Twins. Like, every one of these doesn't have to be, you know,
right.
Incredibly, the lobbyist or whatever, incredibly
high yeah.
end. And so we went to Twins Asian Bistro. Absolutely fabulous. They have these little egg rolls that are, they're little egg rolls. They're not your big, thick egg rolls stuffed with things. They're kind of crispy little egg rolls. That was delicious. And then you get, you know, some Asian soup, which is great on a cold night. So far, Jeffrey, one for one. Twins Asian Bistro. John Martin walks in here. Now, I listen to John. I listen to Jason and John every single day for the laughter, the wisdom, but also for the betting tips. And so I went yesterday and I put basically my life savings on the Vols last night, thinking they would be able there. I don't know. Like, I saw your tweet a week ago when they beat Illinois, that they're just like, they're it, man. That this is that team. And I'll be honest, John, I was a little disappointed.
That was not this team.
Holy that crap.
Well, you know, again,
I don't know how you actually, as Jeffrey pointed out, that's probably a good loss, right? Because you knew within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
You wouldn't have to be sweating that one.
No question. Yeah, that no, I prefer that for sure. I prefer, like, let me move on with my evening instead of sitting here sweating it, which, you know, that's hard to just, you almost had to laugh, you know, just how bad they shot the ball. It was almost, like, hard to believe.
It was almost hard to believe.
And it continued into the second half.
Relentlessly.
I actually, like, I'm not even, like, trying to, I bet Florida minus 19.5 live to get off the Tennessee plus 3.5. Because you could just see where
at
that
was
going.
At what point do you do that? Like how?
It was like probably the beginning of the second half. when you're right. Like, oh, this isn't going to change.
This isn't changing.
Yeah, so I feel, and you could just kind of get this. You could,
and obviously, it's fine to lose a game, to get routed in a game.
Like, and you could tell Florida was in that mood. Like, they
by
wanted
the way,
to run
they,
it
they had a little, they had a pregame issue there.
Yeah.
Because they sold. Imagine the outrage here if that had happened.
Yeah.
If the University of Memphis had sold seats in the student section to regular old fans, but they evidently had a 3-day holiday pack that involved selling the student seats. And so they had to physically remove, because the students showed up and occupied the seats anyway,
right.
In protest. They had to physically remove them.
Yeah, I mean, people were excited about the game. We had Todd Golden on Field of 68 After Dark last night. You know, he's good. He's got some things going on right now, but
he does have some things going on, some personal issues.
But he's a really good coach. I find him to be very sharp. You know, and probably, I mean, again, they're top 10 in the country.
That's the allegations against him again?
I think, like, stalking. There's some Instagram stuff, you know, with, like, maybe a student. I don't.
Well, none of us have been done any favors by social media, let's be honest, being out there. My ability to reach out to people is really the worst.
It was better when, like, I think maybe the perfect time
period. How would
period,
you even stalk people before? Like, how creepy would you have to be?
You'd have to
actually
go
to their house.
Yeah.
Right? And there'd probably be a lot of.
Or you could call
you know,
them,
there's
like.
There's a lot of barriers between having the thought, I'd like to stalk this person.
That's right.
There's
right.
a lot of barriers between doing it in an actual execution. Now, there's no barriers. It's 1 in the night. It's 1 in the morning.
You could call drunk, them, whatever. Their home phone, *67.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. Anyway, so
I think the
he's
perfect
good.
Time period to have lived in was like the 90s. Like if you,
you think like, so? You don't think like the in the '60s that stuff was just
no because you didn't have.
And of course, we're talking about different perspectives. And you're saying as a cis male, the perfect.
I wouldn't say that.
You would not.
No,
I,
no.
I don't think I've ever said that myself. You're saying that's the time, the perfect time to live.
Well, not to.
You're not saying as a woman,
not to again. You're trying to take it there. Let's strip
I'm not
away.
It there. I'm just aware that that's where we sometimes land.
For once, let's strip away gender and race and everything, and let's just say as a human being.
I objected on this airwaves to the fact that I heard people calling snowmen snow people. Come on, man. Seriously, they're snowmen, for God's sake.
Nobody's sakes. Doing that,
no,
bro.
No, they did. On NPR, they said, by tomorrow, people across the country could be making snow people.
Oh, I mean, it sounds like
it's
a
ridiculous,
like a tribe.
It's ridiculous.
If that's the way they
right. Anyway, so what were you gonna say?
Because the reason why I would pick the '90s again, removing, and honestly, '90s is far enough removed from women being able to vote, right?
And still had a lot of the good.
The
stuff.
Civil rights movement, right? We were 30 years.
Yeah,
at
but
least.
The Me Too hadn't come yet.
No, perfect.
Not perfect.
No, I mean,
not perfect. We don't want people getting away with this nonsense.
90s was great because you had a little bit of a taste, right? You had a little bit of a taste of the connectivity with the internet and and phones, right? But you didn't have all of it.
Well, what you didn't have, you could reach out to someone, but you couldn't then be exposed on social media.
Yeah, you didn't get canceled on social media.
So that's a problem. Okay. Here's my question.
We clearly disagree. You're being a leftist.
Back
today.
To no, I've come out. I'm making a hard stance against snow people.
Well, that's brave.
I would ask you this. You don't know who these teams are.
Okay.
Okay? I'm telling you, you don't know who these teams
right.
are. Team A has beaten Louisville, Baylor, in Illinois and Arkansas
yep.
in quad one and quad two. Got destroyed by Florida.
Yep.
Again, you probably don't have any idea who these teams
yeah,
are.
I have no clue.
That's Team A. Team B in quad one has beaten UConn, Michigan State, Clemson, and Ole Miss. Has lost to Auburn and Mississippi State. In quad two has beaten Missouri, UNLV, San Francisco, UVA, Florida Atlantic, and North Texas. So Team A is 4-1 in quad one and quad two. Team B is 10-2 in quad one and quad two. Team B has lost to Arkansas State, so has a quad three loss. Which is the more impressive resume?
Well, there's no question that it's team two. There's no question. The issue becomes...
So why the hell, every time I look, whether it's AP human voters, whether it's Net, whether it's KenPom... Even after this demolition,
yep.
you can be damn sure Team A is going to be way ahead of Team B.
There's two things.
Or Team A, B, 1, 2, whatever, either way you want to do there.
There's two things going on here.
You say snowman, I say snowman. People.
That's right. Right, that's exactly right. The Team B...
Uh-huh. People hate it.
They're being dinged...
Are they?
Because of the Arkansas State loss.
Okay, so that's real. That's a part of the resume. And that is a part of the resume, yeah. just like Alabama football should yes. be dinged for losing to Vandy.
That's one element of it. But
there's only one bad loss on either of these two
right.
teams'
that's
resumes.
Right. That's right. And, I mean, you lost to Florida at Florida.
Right.
That's
there's
really
only,
not...
only one of these teams has
yeah.
a bad loss.
Yeah. But the other part of it is, and I do believe this, and I actually had this conversation in this college basketball group chat I'm in last night, because... Evan Miyakawa, who does a great job with metrics and his own projections, and he's a data scientist and all that.
Yep.
he when Memphis lost to Arkansas State, he has this bit right where he calls it for these teams. They'll win or loss. He'll say, you know, randomly throughout the season, I'm calling it. You're a 2 seed. You're a 5 seed. You're a 9 seed. I'm calling it for you. Right.
Oh, I see. He
and when Memphis lost to Arkansas State, he called it for them and said they're a 7 seed. And I actually went back into the group chat last night, and I sent that tweet to him, and I said, Evan, are you standing by this as a 7 seed? And he basically said yes, because he thinks they're going to drop games in the conference. What I think that...
I do, too, by the way. You and I disagree on this.
Yeah,
part.
I mean,
you agree they will lose games.
They will lose a game, maybe two, but I think they're going to roll out of bed and not even have to try 75% of the time.
Is the difference between 2 and 4? Is that what we're talking about here?
I mean, I think that's probably Yeah, I mean, I don't see four at all. I don't see four being possible. But what I think it speaks to, A, I think Evan is wrong. I think he's wrong that they're going to lose, drop bunnies. They've already beaten the two best teams in the league, one by 28 at their place. And they don't have to go to the other person's place, the other team's place, North Texas. What is going on with Memphis is that people are extremely slow to update their priors about Penny and about Memphis. I don't know why that is. I don't know why they're so slow.
That shouldn't have anything to do with a KenPom.
Oh, well, that's different. You're talking about human poll. You're talking about perception, I thought, with those two teams.
But they rank higher in the human poll than they do in the analytics.
Well, again, that is all based on most of those teams that you're talking about that are ahead of Memphis scheduled a bunch of pansies. They did, and they won by 30 and 40. And like,
so then are you saying that if Memphis starts beating the hell out of these pansies,
Correct. They
can – and here's the next question. What can Memphis – we're talking about, this is a disaster. They can't do anything. They can't get another –
If they win,
can they do?
They can beat every team by 25 the rest of the way, and they will – I guarantee you.
They will ascend.
They will be a top 10 team in the net, and they will be a top 10 team at KenPom if they do that.
So given that, one of the things that came out of Penny's – radio show the other day was he said, I got to start extending the rotation, man. It's one thing to, I needed to do this to get through the non-conference, but we shouldn't need PJ Haggerty to play 36 minutes to do what we need to do. But if Jeffrey, when he talked about this, Jeffrey's very firm policy was, I'm fine with cutting back on their minutes once they're up by 20.
Yeah.
But I'm not fine with cutting back on their minutes starting at the jump.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I know, you know, Jermaine does the analytics. Like, what I would tell Penny is our predictive metrics right now are hurting because, you know, we're playing close. Like, even beating UConn right in a close game, like. The net and KenPom reward margin, that is what it does, right? I mean, that's why Maryland's a fraud.
Right.
But Maryland's 16th at KenPom because they beat a bunch of jabronis by 40, right? UConn kind of the same way. They figured it out a little bit since they got back from Maui, but they started the season with 40-point wins against Sacred Heart and the Snow People. So that,
they beat the Snow People.
Again, you have to be in a mindset of when you're Memphis and you really want to improve your predictive metrics and your seeding, we got to win this game by 30. It ain't just enough to win, right? You got to win the game by 30 if you want. Because prime example, you beat North Texas and you drop a spot.
Right.
I mean, that's how you're going to get treated. If you have these 2-3 possession games in the American against these terrible teams, you are going to get dinged in the metrics. So, again, if you win, that's fine. You'll still be a 3-4 seed. But you could be as high as a 2. I truly believe this.
Mm-hmm.
If you... just
the hell out of
road grade these teams.
Speaking of getting dinged, Antonio Pierce. Out he goes.
I'll tell you what, man.
When you look back at the Antonio Pierce
era. Just don't give
the
brother a chance, man.
When you look back at it's the difference, isn't it?
No, it's actually not. He had a fair shake. He sucks.
Gardner Minshew is a fair shake?
He chose Gardner Minshew. He had another quarterback on the roster that would have been better. And he chose Gardner Minshew. And Gardner Minshew, by the way, the year before that, was a game away from the playoffs.
So what it now is, as a Raider fan, I'm just curious, because we all have hopes, right? We have hopes. What's your wild hope? Either in terms of roster or in terms of coach and management. We know that Brady's involved
now,
I mean,
that's where my hope lies, is Brady.
But what's your hope? Are you hoping, you know what, he's going to... Like, for example, I was driving home last night, and I was listening to the national show, and they're like, is there any chance... that they could pull off the Deion Shadur double here?
With the Raiders?
Yeah. Like, is that your hope? Or is that so crazy that it's not even a hope?
No.
You'd have to get from 6 to 1 or 2 in order to get him.
That ball performance from Shadur was disturbing.
It was a little disturbing.
I'm off that bandwagon for sure. Well, as a Raider fan, you share a division with Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and now Bo Nix. Those teams are all in the playoffs.
Is your hope Aaron Rodgers? Is your hope Kirk Cousins?
Oh, my God, no.
Kirk Cousins? I mean, who's going to be the quarterback next year?
It's probably going to be Aiden O'Connell. Like, and honestly, that's fine.
You're really to tank another year.
You're biding your time.
Until the other quarterbacks in the conference get old. In the division get old.
What else could I do? I mean, you know, when you don't have the number one pick, it's a weak draft anyway for quarterbacks. Like, nobody thinks anybody out of this draft is going to be a generational guy.
Get another Brock Bowers out of the draft, the equivalent.
Well, you know, take another year and then draft Arch Manning, and now we're, like, cooking, you know?
I see. So your hope is another year of sucking in Arch Manning.
I mean, that
they're not going to suck badly enough.
They won't
though.
Suck badly enough.
You need a lottery.
You do. You I mean, yes.
There should be a lottery in the NFL.
Yeah, because, you know, the Giants still exist, right? So, I mean, they're going to be right back in the mix next year.
They look
the Browns are going to be right back in the mix. The Titans are going to be right back.
Titans are going to be built to lose. They're going to be horrible.
It's going to be the same teams, you know what I mean? It's going to be the same exact team. So my hope is just that I live long enough to outlast this current iteration of the AFC West. And that, you know, by
it's
then...
a long life. You should hope that anyway, because it's a long life. Who's your MVP?
It is the guy that plays in Buffalo. Where's number 17?
Really?
Yeah. And the argument is very simple. Like, he has one other Pro Bowler.
Uh-huh.
The Baltimore Ravens have the league leading.
Nine. They got nine.
League leading.
Nine.
And listen... like, if we were going to just do the deal where we just gave it to, like, the best player every year.
For the most, just give it the quarterback efficiency rating.
Yeah.
Just give it to that person every year.
LeBron should have been the MVP every year for, like, 12 straight years, but he wasn't, was he?
No.
We get fatigued. It's other people's turns. Like, this is – I mean, you could make a legitimate case that Lamar deserves it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
It's not, we're not talking about big margins here. But he's already won it multiple times. Josh has never won it. He's led his team to the AFC East for the fifth straight year.
He had the lesser cast around him and achieved and had the better results.
I mean, enough said. And he really fixed his interception problem, you know? Yeah. So I think it's just his turn.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Yep. I'll be listening from 11 until 2. That's Jason and John every single day. We're going to take a break. Come back to talk to Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. Busy day on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM.